You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORJ Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. Tony, good day to you, my friend.
A good day to you, RJ. Hope your day is as well as we get ready for this big, big rivalry matchup, huge game. Cowboys play the, the Cowboys play the hated Eagles.
That's right. No,
they, how's that narrative?
I'm so pumped about it. This is our second show of the week. We normally go with our second show on Fridays typically, yeah. But I'm being a little selfish here. I'm in the process of moving. And so there's a lot happening on Friday morning for me, which is why we had to kind of fly early. But I was going to ask you before we started talking, what's your number one piece of advice for anyone that has to move? Because I feel like that's one of the only things in life that we all agree sucks is moving.
I would say this, just be patient. It's a necessary evil. You have to do it. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how much stuff you have or don't have, and you know, don't create a lot of anxiety for yourself about, you know, when you move in, because at the end, the light at the end of the tunnel is you're actually going to have a new place. I believe this is your first home that you own.
That's right.
And it's just, you know, while you're in the heat of the moment of going like, man, how much stuff do I got to move and boxes and everything else like that, just know only this, that you know that you're going to have a place to stay for hopefully a long time, and it eventually is going to come to an end.
Oh, that's good advice. So basically just be patient, which is really tough.
Don't try to do all the heavy lifting yourself. You know, make sure that you don't want to be Mr. Strongman and tweak your back or anything like that. Just take your time and just enjoy it, because again, you're going to have a nice little housewarming party and Christine, the house that you're going to live in. And just enjoy the American dream of owning your home.
Tony Casillas is going to come over. We're going to have a barbecue, have some good time, maybe pitch some washers, something like that.
I don't know about pitching washers. Maybe some cornhole, maybe drink some adult beverages. How's that sound?
Whatever. It all works. But
congrats. I think we all have congrats. It's the first, you know, it's American dream to own your own home, and it definitely beats the alternative.
Sure. I appreciate it. But so I thought about that. We were getting ready to start. I thought that's one thing that we all universally agree upon is that moving sucks. There's nobody that likes moving. And similarly, because there are very few things in life we all agree on, number one is moving sucks. Number two is that the Eagles suck. We all think that the Eagles suck. Even the Eagles fans think the Eagles suck. And before we get into like the ins and outs of this game, Tony, there is some trash talk happening already from the Eagles side here. Kamu Grugier-Hill, an Eagles special teams linebacker, he's actually a captain for the Eagles. He came out on Wednesday afternoon and he said, look at Dallas's history. They always choke. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go down there and we're going to choke them out. We're going to have them choke or whatever the quote was. The point is, Kamu Grugier-Hill, who lost to the Cowboys a month ago, who had a pick six in his hands from Dak Prescott, he choked. He's out here calling the Cowboys chokers. Look, the guy, I'm a firm believer. You can tell me if you agree with this or not. The guy is part of the team that won the Super Bowl last year. And when you win the Super Bowl, you have earned the right to talk whatever you want. But we're at a point in time now where, bro, you already lost this team. I don't know. What are your thoughts here?
Well, you just said it. If you have a Super Bowl ring, I guess, you know, that gives you kind of a hall pass to talk smack. Now, I will say this. He was kind of an obscure player, but now we started doing our research and preparing for the show. I do vividly remember him, that pass going right through between us, the, both of his hands, and missing a would-be, possibly a pick six.
Yeah.
But you know, on the flip side of that, I think it's great for this game that you got to talk a little smack. And yeah, I think that everyone's having a lot of fun with it. Who's this guy? And I tweeted something out that I think Stephen A. Smith went inside this guy's body and released a kraken of hate because someone had to throw something out there this week. And, you know, look, I don't know. You know, personally, he's more of a special teams guy. He has, what, 23 tackles, 25 tackles this year. But you know what? I think it, you know, it starts somewhere. Yeah, again, I don't think you need to add any gasoline on putting more gasoline on this fire because, you know, it's going to be a heated battle. And I think we're having a lot of fun with saying, who the hell is this guy?
That was,
you know, I've never heard of him before.
That was the number one response, was just who said that? Who is
yes. Was that a trainer? Was that someone on the equipment staff? Was that Jeff Lurie? Was that his assistant? I mean, what, you know, who is this guy? But you know, that's some really bad shots fired. Choking, gonna come down there and choke the Cowboys. And granted, this guy was 1 year old when we won the Super Bowl. I mean, I understand that. But again, I guess it's all about what have you done lately? Spectacular.
Right.
And they did win the Super Bowl last year. So I guess until the Cowboys prove them wrong, all right, bro. We'll give you that. We're going to find out on Sunday.
Where do you fall on trash talking in general? Because we've seen a few years ago, Rob Kelly, the Redskins running back, called the Cowboys the Cowgirls, showed up on Thanksgiving, and they got whipped. We saw earlier this season, Landon Collins called out Dak Prescott, and Dak said challenge accepted. And that was because a few years ago, Landon Collins said he hoped Tony Romo threw his way. Landon Collins lost both of those games. Before the Eagles game a month ago, when Kamu dropped that pick six, Jason Peters talked some smack. Jason Kelce said that the Cowboys fans were just fair weather people. Trash talking has not worked out well for NFC East teams when it comes to the Cowboys. But how do you feel about it in general? Are you cool with talking trash? I mean, did you talk a lot of trash? You know, when do you feel like it's okay to talk trash? What's the situation here?
I think it's your confidence level. And look, I have no problem with it. I mean, I just, you know, that wasn't my MO. I mean, I out on the field, yes, but through the media. And I remember we had other guys, and even, you know, Jimmy Johnson, we beat the San Francisco 49ers. You can put it in 4-inch letters back in the newspaper days where we're going to beat the 49ers. But, you know, I think it comes, it circulates about being confident. And I don't really think that subconsciously you're probably saying things just in the jest and having fun. But then again, it perpetuates to something even bigger, becomes viral because of the magnitude of the game. And you kind of know that. But it all comes down. Here's the thing also is that as a team, whoever those shots may be fired at, don't respond to it.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, just kind of laugh and, you know, after the game, then we'll see what who chokes and what the outcome would be. But I always thought that there's very constructive trash talking.
Sure.
And you can say things and personally. And, you know, look, that's, you know, I hate to admit it, but he is kind of right in a way.
Yeah, nobody's saying the Cowboys don't choke.
But directed, I always thought there's a lot more credibility when it comes to someone like
like Jimmy Johnson in that case you mentioned. Like, that's a different thing. That's the king throwing down the...
Right, but even on their team...
Well, like Jason Kelce's a leader. He was the one...
Right, or someone, you know, one that's more... takes a bigger role in this team. Maybe a little bit more of that. But, you know, for me, I just... Look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let that resonate. We're going to worry about it. We're going to deal with that on the field. We don't need to respond. And then after the game, look at the scoreboard and just try to really just put the, you know, the gas pedal down and just try to blow them out. I mean, that's how you handle that. That's how you diffuse that. Well,
that was my next question. So how real is that? Because on Thursday, Jason Garrett, he was asked about this. And, I mean, shocker here, said, oh, he hadn't heard what Kamu said. And, you know, he acted totally, you know, just – not ignorant, but acted totally surprised. And, oh, you know, whatever, man, you know, we just control what we can control, whatever. But so is it real? I mean, because I think football fans wonder this all the time. As somebody who's been there, is it real? Are DeMarcus Lawrence, and I'm not saying speak for anybody, but are the Cowboys defenders or the Cowboys players, are they sitting in the locker room saying, you know, maybe holding up, you know, their phone, showing off the article, look at what this guy said, and putting the video out there and having everybody see it? Is it a real thing that they're all seeing it and they're all saying kind of what you said, hey, let's go handle our business? Or are we just, are we making too much of a movie out of it? You know what I mean? Is it really maybe something that nobody even sees?
Well, it's a story, because I think everyone likes to talk about things like that. There's got to be, you know, the, kind of a narrative. There's got to be something, you know, just kind of, you know, rattle the other team. And I know that it's been probably said a few times behind those walls in the locker room, like, hey, look what this cat said about us.
Right.
He is saying that we have choked, and we're taking this personal. Now, you don't want to give the media, you don't want to go outside that your, you know, your zone and just kind of, you know, let everyone know what is being said and how you're handling it, because you got to be able to compartmentalize that. Mm-hmm. Because again, you really don't need much of this, you know, smack talking or whatever it is, someone bulletin board material, whatever, however you want to label it, because there's so much on the line.
Right.
But again, at the back of your mind, you're knowing there's some cat out there. Now, look, if you're Zach Martin and you get a chance in a second level and pick him off, and you know, you get him on the ground, it's okay, we're going to find out who choked the fella. So I think there's a lot of smack talking down in those trenches.
Yeah.
You're going to be going back and forth in John, and that's how you handle it. You compartmentalize that, you know, within the confines of our wall. And we're going to, you know what, we're going to deal with Kamu on Sunday.
I find it really interesting, and I think I speak for most fans here when I say I love it. I mean, I don't love what Kamu said, obviously, you know, the Eagles suck and whatever. But
I think it's great for the fans.
Oh, it's so awesome.
It adds even more to, you know, fuel on the fire, because the Eagles fans hate the Cowboy fans more than the Cowboy fans hate them. I mean, that's the way it's always been. You know, the Cowboys, you know, all they hear is America's team, and how people still watch the Cowboys and, like, we just won a Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little envy, there's a little jealousy because of the Cowboys. And look, they haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years, and yet they're the front and center store, it seems like, every week.
No, I totally agree, and I think
so they resent. I think there's resentfulness there, you know?
No, absolutely. And I think as football fans, you know, you want to, if you're a Cowboys fan, you want to believe that DeMarcus Lawrence or whoever it may be, you want to believe that he hates the Eagles as much as you do. You know what I mean? Like, you want to believe that for the players, for the team, it's just as personal for you. You know, because, you know, you get a lot of guys that don't, you know, necessarily feel that way. I mean, that's just the way sports work. But so this, to me, sort of makes it's more of a rallying cry. It's like, yeah, okay, it really is. We hate each other. We hate them. They hate us. It's more than just something fans feel. It's down to the team, et cetera, blah, blah. It makes it real. So I think it's fun, and it's a lot more fun if you win, obviously, like the Cowboys did a month ago. But
I will say this, RJ. Now with social media and everything else, it just takes off. It becomes viral. I mean, if this guy would have said this back in the day of no things becoming viral and social media, I don't think it'd be a bigger story, but everyone can comment it out, and it just becomes a snowball effect. And I like it. I think a game like this has to have something to it besides just two teams, you know, playing. It makes it more dramatic.
My last thought on this, as somebody who's been there, do you think either Kamu regrets saying it because of what it created and the potential bulletin board material and all that junk, or B, that somebody within the Eagles staff, whether it's Doug Peterson or Jim Schwartz or whoever, somebody said, Kamu, dude, do not do that. You know, I mean, do you think either of those things happen?
Oh, you know, he seems like a pretty good dude. I mean, when he said it, he was smiling.
Right, it wasn't malicious.
It was kind of like jokingly, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I think it's, you can't control everyone. I mean, you got to be a little smarter, but I don't think it's going to change anything that's already involved with this game as far as emotion. I mean, it does add a little bit more flavor to it. We're talking about it. And again, you can either use it either way you want as a coach or as a player. But when you, to me, that's a little bit more personal when you talk about choking.
Right.
That means that you, you know, you for some reason, you know, that's failure. You know, wherever all the pressure and all of a sudden you decide to go the other way and kind of go back to your usual ways. And I think that's what Seaton's implying, the usual ways that the Cowboys haven't been able to win over the last 25 years.
I really
hope. So I take that personal.
I really hope that on a special teams play that Chris Jones just lays him out. And then just stands over him and does like a choking hand signal.
I can guarantee it. Come on, he will have his head on a swivel. I don't know if he'll be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Subconsciously, he will think, you know, look, he's going to be the villain coming here. All those fans, you know, he's brought the focus to himself. Now, you know, let's flip the script. Let's say that Leighton Vander Esch made that statement, and they're playing in Philly. Oh my gosh.
Oh, dude.
Now this is what I'm doing. I'm calling out all the fans that are listening to our podcast, that are going to the game. Everyone's got to give Camus as much shit as possible during that game.
Hey.
Maybe I should use a better word. Maybe we can 8-second word that. Crap. Hey. Hard time.
We're leaving.
On him the whole game. Have that little Philadelphia mentality come out with the city of brotherly love. Let's show Arlington, Dallas, Texas, our brotherly love by hating him for 3 hours during this game.
We're leaving that in because that was gold. We're leaving that in. That was perfect. That was perfect for Philadelphia. That was really XFL-ish. Right after news of the XFL heading to Dallas and Arlington as well.
So I know. How about that?
We got some. You know, we got the Dallas XFL team, the Houston XFL team, the San Antonio Commanders, and the Alliance League. There's a lot of football going on here. So it gives you good times to be a football fan in the state of Texas. Before we talk about this game specifically, Tony, I want to know, what is your best memory from playing the Eagles? In your time, I think I would guess maybe what your best memory is. I would guess the 92 playoff game, but I don't know, just because that had to be sweet. But I don't know. What's your all-time memory when it comes to these losers?
You know what? I would say back in the day, whenever during the Buddy Ryan days, and then during the days in which their defensive line was just so rogue. When you had, and this is what I always like to do, and this is kind of, you know, this is part of the whole reason why I like playing the Philadelphia Eagles, because you said Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Clyde Simmons, Mike Pitts, and I know Mike Gillip, I think he was already gone. So I really like watching those teams back when they had those four players, because what happened is that we would get their film, and instead of watching their offense, I would watch their defensive line. I always watch Reggie White, the minister of defense, play, because the guy was Superman. I mean, I never saw someone with that type of freakish strength that was just inhuman. So I used to love watching that. But to your point, yes, it was the playoff games. It was going to the vet. And, you know, it was one of those games where there's a lot of guys that take the buses, but there's a lot of guys that go 3 hours for the game and take a cab. And that's kind of the, you know, what guys do. Get there early, kind of know your surroundings. And but I always liked going there because the fans were always there early and they hated us. And, you know, you just kind of thrive off that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something about people that hate you, and even in life today, that the people don't like you, you just try to make them as uncomfortable, and almost where you like to make them smile, because, you know, just kind of use the opposite psychology. So I used to love going there early, 3 hours before the game, which I always took the second bus, and I'd try to get there early. And we would just love going into the vet and going out there early and just kind of looking at, you know, just the environment.
Right.
And knowingly that when we came out, there was going to be a lot of hated people. But 92, when we beat them in the playoffs, and you know, we always got in their way. You know, we go back to that era, we always got in their way, and nothing's ever changed. I don't think ever changed because of just who the fans are. And there is a reason why they have a gel inside the stadium, because, you know, inevitably there'd be someone behind us saying, you know, profanity, And next thing you know it, they'd come and just looking up in the stands and guys, people getting in fights. You suck, Dallas. You suck. You know, Casillas or whoever it was, you know, whoever, you suck. And you know, to me, we just kind of like laughed and then we'd go out on the field and just really just ball out. And, you know, that was when we were relevant. But, yeah, I mean, that to me was the fans. And when we got them here, we knew they really didn't have an opportunity to win. And real quick, one of my biggest memories was, is that whenever they came down and it was hotter than hell at Texas Stadium. You remember they had the hole in the roof and sure. It's extremely hot. And so I think it was Jim Jeffco was, oh yeah, they're going to come down here and, you know, they're going to wilt in the heat. And, you know, because it was an early game, it was in September. And we're like, oh, they're not used to the heat. Well, guess what? We weren't used to the heat. That was the pickle juice. I mean, I don't know if you remember the pickle juice game, but if you do. So the pickle juice was like, well, they asked me, I think, because all of us were on the sidelines, you know, get cramping up. And I think that's the day Troy got sacked like 8 or 9, maybe 10 times by that front. And so they were telling all the players, they were asking them after the game, well, how did you guys not have any problem with the heat? He goes, well, we drank pickle juice. So that became the, remember that?
Yeah,
that took off with the whole pickle juice, the way you combat the heat. But yeah, you know, the fandom and just the ability, what we're able to do as far as winning, and you know, they were always in our way, but you know, we were always able to dispose them without any problem.
I like that, dispose them. That's kind of what you got to do with the Eagles. You don't beat them, you dispose them. what's it like sweating your ass off and drinking pickle juice? That has to feel gross.
Well, you know what? I never drank it.
Oh,
no, I guess we did after that, but we'd always have to do an IV because I always.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, but I was spread profusely, but they weren't even doing IVs. They were drinking this pickle juice. It was kind of the version of, you know, now it's like Pedialyte because it has all the,
right.
You get, it's got all the electrolytes and everything, or Gatorade or whatever. But, you know, we're just like, we asked Jeffco. I thought, what happened? You know, I'm going to look over and Jim Jeffcoat's like this. He's about to pass out. I'm like, Jim, didn't you tell us that they were going to come down here and wilt and they were going to quit the second half? And that's when they're talking about pickle juice. He couldn't even talk.
That's.
But I never drank. I know that they, you know, the guys drink it now, but it was certainly a very big surprise because there's no expectation that they're going to fall in that category,
sure.
Dehydrate and everything. But it was kind of a funny moment. You know, Jim Jeffco, we used to always like give him a hard time because he was just one of those guys that, you know, just was easy to needle a little bit.
Right.
And this was your reaction.
Well, I don't like pickles personally. So I can't imagine enjoying drinking pickle juice. I love Chick-fil-A, but I just, no pickles for me. Can't do it. Sorry. That's just the way I roll, you know. I dispose of the pickles the way you
I'm
dispose.
More of an olive guy. I love olives.
So I can
dispose. I mean, I could eat a lot of olives.
That's
like a whole jar.
That's just as gross, dude.
With jalapenos, stuff with jalapenos? Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Well, I could make that a meal.
Okay, so for the fifth week in a row, Tony, this is the biggest game in the Jason Garrett era. For the fifth week in a row, because every week so far has been the biggest week in the Jason Garrett era, and the dude has responded. But as big as the Saints game was, and it was, and you guys got your honor, and that was awesome, and Gil Brandt went in the Ring of Honor, that was great. This is a little different, all right? This is, you know, and I kind of like that it's not Sunday Night Football. I kind of like that it's, I mean, how cold is it going to be this weekend in Arlington? It's going to be like below freezing, right? I mean, it's going to be like 20 degrees.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be freezing. It's going to be dark outside. I mean, you got the Eagles in town. I mean, it is just nirvana for a Dallas Cowboys fan. And so this game, it just feels tasty. You know what I mean? I mean, I can't remember how hyped I was. Or it's been a long time since I've been this hyped. And I'll start off just like this. Which Eagle scares you the most? Offensively, defensively, maybe it's Kamu. I mean, which Eagle are you going to lose the most sleep over between now and then?
Well, I mean, I think you got the offensive side because they've got, you know, they got better running the football against the Redskins. They rushed for 135 yards, put that on the ground. And, you know, we talked about Golden Tate the first time they played – when they traded for Golden Tate, and he really hadn't really got involved in the offense, and they're starting to really find him a lot more, Carson Wentz. You know, Josh Adams has done a really good job of now kind of finding, getting his feet. You got to remember, you know, Jay Ajayi was injured this year, so they really, really miss him.
Right.
And but I think this Josh Adams and Darren Sproles, they have, I mean, that dude, if he, you know, he creates a lot of mismatches for him. But you know, for me, it's Carson Wentz. I mean, Carson Wentz has the ability to really, really be good on offense, create an offensive opportunities. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got some playmakers. I wouldn't just say one guy, but if I'm going to say one guy, Zach Ertz, to me, that's always been, that's the money man.
Totally.
That's the guy you have to really, that really opens up their offense. And we mentioned it yesterday a little bit, touched on, he has 93 receptions this year. He's broke a single reception franchise record for receptions, and there's four games left. So I think him, that really knowing where he is on the field, because I think he is a key to their offense. I mean, he's inevitably, he's always, you know, the check down guy. But I would say him and Golden Tate. I think Golden Tate, again, has got, he's got this offense under his belt now,
yeah,
a little bit more comfortable. And if I'm going to look at that, I think those two guys are they're big playmakers.
I think you and I are simpatico here, Tony. I agree with you. Zach Ertz is the guy. It's really weird going into a game as a Cowboys fan knowing that the check down master tight end on the field plays for the other team. You know what I mean? It's really weird turn of events, but that's the reality. I mean, if it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8, even like 3rd and 12, I mean, Zach Ertz the guy, and he's going to find a way to get open. I know that Jeff Heath stopped him at the end of the game in Philadelphia. That was a really big play. But, I mean, what else do you expect from the GOAT? I mean, that's how Jeff Heath rolls. But Zach is great, and Zach, to me, is an extension of Carson Wentz. I saw, I think it was a quote from Good Morning Football on Wednesday, and I don't like quotes like this, but the quote was, when at his peak, Carson Wentz is the best player in the NFL. And I don't think that's fair because the guy, nobody plays at their peak all the time. So that's, I feel like that's kind of cherry picking. But the point, I think, is that this dude has a gear that he can hit that is very dangerous. We saw it last year when the Eagles visited. I don't know if you know this, Tony. That game, November 19th of 2017, there was a halftime celebration that night. That was the night Jerry got his pomp and circumstance for going into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, that was the worst loss ever at AT&T Stadium, 37-9. Kind of a bitter pill to swallow on what was supposed to be a celebratory night for Jerry. And that was in the middle of that funk the Cowboys found themselves in. So, but that was, I think that was peak Carson Wentz. You mentioned Jay Ajayi. He ripped off a long touchdown run in that game. They did not have Golden Tate. And I think what scares me beyond Zach Ertz, you mentioned Tate, is I do feel like not only does he have the offense under his belt, I feel like the chemistry's clicking. You know, it's been about a month. You know, they're starting to find their groove, him and Carson. And we know what Golden Tate did last time he was in this building back in week 4 as a member of the Lions. And so that scares me because I do think the Cowboys are going to have a game plan for Zach Ertz. I don't think they'll completely inhibit him. But I think that whether it's Byron Jones is on him, I don't know if you want to do that because Byron has been so great outside. But somebody is going to be able to inhibit what Zach Ertz does. But Golden Tate, I think, is the new Jay Ajayi. He's the new explosive. He's the guy, he's the napalm, you know, lurking that has a chance to catch fire and really burn you.
Yeah, you know, and you look at the two offenses, you compare the Eagles to the Saints. The Saints are more rhythmic. I would say a little systematic. You know, everything they have, it seems to me everything's on timing. Most offensives are. But I think with Carson Wentz, his ability to find his open receiver is because he's a big dude. Not only is he big, he can see his targets, and he's an accurate passer. But I think everyone forgets about his ability to move around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watch him move, and he can extend plays. You know, to me, that's always a concern to be able to do that. But remember we talked about Amari Cooper being able to fit in the Cowboys offense.
Right.
And it's going to take a little time. And yet, you know, his first impression, first game he played was, I mean, he had a touchdown. Or I believe he had a touchdown. I will say this. If you look at Carson Wentz's weapons, and you compare him. I think that he's probably got, you know, he's got as many weapons to be able to throw with, you know, throw to his in the receiving game. Problem is that the running game is, they haven't been able to sustain that.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's just real quick, kind of, who would you take at the quarterback position, Philly or Dallas? Who's better?
Oh, without a doubt, the Eagles.
Right. Okay. So Philly's got the advantage of quarterback. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep.
At running back, we agree the Cowboys have the advantage, right?
Right.
Who's got the advantage at offensive line? Because the Cowboys' offensive line isn't the Cowboys' offensive line of old. Tyron Smith is expected to play. That makes Xavier Suafilo better. And that offensive line played well last time the Cowboys were in Philly, or played Philly, I should say, but they did just give up 7 sacks. And not that the Philly offensive line is great, but I don't know. Maybe that's a wash. I don't know. Who would you take along the
offensive
line?
Well, I mean, it's a different type of offensive line. I think that the Cowboys, when you look at Zeke makes the offensive line better. I mean, the you know, they number one, number two rushing team in the National Football League, mm-hmm. averaging over 130 yards. But if I look just based on what I saw last week, I mean, giving up 7 sacks, and I look at Jason Peters, I look at Zane Johnson, a guy that's going to be healthy there. I mean, I would probably still take the Cowboys offensive line because I think they're more of a dual unit. They can run the football. And I think the Eagles haven't been able to do that. So I'd have to give the edge to the Cowboys offensive line.
I would lean that way only – I would only lean that way in the sense of – I think the Cowboys' offensive line has a better shot against the Eagles' front seven than the Eagles' offensive line against the Cowboys' front seven, if that makes sense.
Yeah, good point.
So you're taking Cowboys' offensive line. Now, which group of pass catchers would you take? So we're lumping in tight ends here. And you can even lump in, you know, running backs as pass catchers. So you got Darren Sproles in there. I think, without question, the Eagles have the better overall group. I think Michael Gallup's certainly coming along. But outside of that, I mean, Cole Beasley is kind of hobbly right now. So you've got Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and Zeke. That's it. But the Eagles, Alshon Jeffrey's still a threat. Golden Tate's coming on. Zach Ertz is an elite weapon. They have Darren Sproles out the backfield. So I think to get to the point you started this at, that's the difference, is they have a bevy of pass catchers, and that's really dangerous.
I think so. I think you'd have to look. I'd have to give the edge, well, I mean, collectively to the Eagles. Because of just their ability, they've got some big receivers. You know, they've been known to make big plays. And then adding Golden Tate just gives them another playmaker. You know, Zach Ertz, I mean, he's the Cowboys, Jason Witten, mm-hmm. you know, for their team. And the Cowboys don't have a tight end like that. So I would definitely have to give that, you know, I'd have to give the Eagles certainly the advantage in that category.
Also, I believe that the women's national team, the soccer team, I believe they qualified for the World Cup in Frisco. I think that was where it happened. So Zach's wife, Julie Ertz, plays and is one of the stars for that team. So that family's already had some success this year, you know, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I'm just saying, you know,
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
I know. So,
but I know it. It's right. Just a good nugget there.
I think maybe overall, I mean, I'm talking like 51-49, the Eagles' offense might be better. You know, just kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And I think the biggest advantage is the Cowboys' ability to run the football.
Sure.
That's because they got an explosive running back. And, you know, I think they do a lot better running the football and creating some, you know, creases for Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, one thing about Zeke is when I watch him, I mean, and I'm probably getting a little off track, but when you watch him, it's almost like he slows down to find the crease and he accelerates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So patient. But, I mean, I think the continuity of the offensive line is much better at running the football.
I agree. So, you know, again, almost a wash in terms of the offense's capability, but I think we both agree that the Eagles have the special gear in their offense. I don't think the Cowboys have that right now. At least we haven't seen it, but we do know that Carson has that ability. We know that Golden Tate has that ability against the Cowboys. We know that Zach Ertz certainly has that ability. So that's why I think we're leaning Eagles offense in terms of the advantage. Let's kind of play this same game along the defensive side of the ball. Defensive line, just the defensive line. Who's got the edge, Cowboys or Eagles, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, the Cowboys. Totally agree. Michael Bennett, London Fletcher.
Fletcher Cox. Yeah, Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher
was that linebacker course, that played forever.
I've done that before with the Redskins, yeah.
Yeah.
The name's backwards.
Yeah.
Other than that,
That's it.
Yeah, I like their inside guys. I know Tim Jernigan is a pretty good player. Brandon Graham, Michael Bennett, and Fletcher Cox. And Michael Bennett has 6.5 sacks this year. But I think the Cowboys, without a doubt, from top to bottom, and adding all their depth, they've got a better defensive line.
I agree. I think the Eagles have maybe the best defensive tackle in the game in Fletcher Cox, and so he certainly makes them very, very, very good. He inflates their average. But the Cowboys have DeMarcus Lawrence on the outside. They have Tyrone Crawford, who's probably having his best season as a Cowboy. They have Malik Collins playing well. They have Antoine Woods, who's one of the most underrated players on the defensive line. So overall, I give them the advantage as well.
And Randy Gregory. Randy Gregory has really created a lot of mismatches. So, you know, it gives the Cowboys a 1-2 punch on the edges.
Totally. So linebackers isn't even a contest, right? I mean, I know Kamu Grier-Hill is an Eagles linebacker and everything, but
he's got that 25 tackles.
Right.
I think Jalen Smith and Leighton Van Der Esch, they think they combined for 30 tackles in one game.
Yeah, so Kamu is in for a lesson at how linebackers actually play. So we agree that is not even close. Which secondary is better? If you had to take one right now.
The Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys, you look at the Eagles' secondary, they've been decimated with injuries. And I think ultimately that was a problem in the first matchup. I mean, you know, Malcolm Jenkins is a tremendous strong safety. Vontae Maddox, some of the guys, you know, that aren't going to be available. I mean, that's the problem with their secondary, what they've had issues. But I think when you look at the depth and you look at the playmaking ability of the Cowboys, without a doubt, they have the better secondary.
Totally agree. I agree that Malcolm Jenkins, he's a factor. You got to certainly pay attention to him. But overall, I mean, I think Byron Jones on his own washes out Malcolm Jenkins. And then, yeah, the Cowboys, I mean, just by the virtue of being healthy, are better than the Eagles secondary at the moment. So while we said that the Eagles, this is where I wanted to get here, they have just a hair of an advantage on offense. The Cowboys have an overwhelming advantage on defense. And that's, I mean, shocker here, that's the story of this game. The Cowboys, I think, you know, if you had to put a number on it, if they limit the Eagles to blank points, they win the game.
Oh, I'm going to say 10 points.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. But do you think that's feasible?
I haven't made my pick. Well, we're going to do that later, but I'm thinking it's going to be a low-scoring game.
You think that's feasible again? To
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
When you look at the match, oh, yes. Because the Cowboys, you know, and that's the problem with we kind of get kind of seduced about the lack of production because of the Cowboys. The Cowboys averaged, you know, 18.6 points per game. But the Eagles only averaged 20 points, some change a game.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's feasible. Look what happened against the New Orleans Saints. Now, I'm not going to say the Cowboys are going to score 435 points on them, but I mean, I think they're going to score about their, you know, they can score 21. So I'm looking, yeah, I'm not going to let you peek, you know, make a quick peek of my prediction because I'm going to wait till the end of the show. But yeah, I think, absolutely.
I think
10 to 13, maybe 10 to 13 points. I think it definitely is feasible.
I don't know. I think that, you know, you look at a performance like the Cowboys had against New Orleans and you just think it was so special and it's so hard to do that again. But maybe that's possible. I mean, certainly possible. Maybe it really happens. I think the New Orleans win over Philadelphia might be, I hate to use this word, but the blueprint. Because New Orleans' defense is certainly better than I think people think. We learned that last week. Their defense shut down Zeke to a great degree. And I think that was kind of the key. I mean, to your point, I don't think the Cowboys can hang 48 on the Eagles like the Saints did. But New Orleans' formula was, we're just going to destroy them on defense. And then we're going to pile up points. And it happened, and it worked. And maybe that's the same thing that happens here. But
Dallas is not built like that. They don't have the – unless, you know, we've always said that the Cowboys, it felt like, are close.
Right.
But until they, you know, Dak, you know, completes that pass down the sideline or – you know, they're able to convert here and there, then they're not going to get over that threshold of scoring 20 points per game. So I'm not expecting that. But
right.
I think the reason why, when I look at the forensic part of this game, I just think the matchup, the Eagles trying to run the ball against the Cowboys, I just don't think they can do that. And if they can't run the football, watch out, because then it becomes this, you know, it becomes this frenzy.
Right.
You know, guys making plays, running games. I mean, that's the thing about the Cowboys, are able to create opportunity by, you know, creating big plays and getting pressure on the quarterback. And if they stuff the run, you know, they're gonna hold the Eagles to a lot of second and third long situations where they have to dial up the pass.
I think where Philly can win this game, and obviously we don't want that, but, and this is kind of my key to the game, is, and this sounds obvious, but the Cowboys have to simply score more touchdowns than field goals. And again, duh, breaking news here. But that was, if they had,
they haven't done that already.
Right, if they had lost to the Saints, it would have been for that exact reason.
They
come up short. I mean, they have to have, you know, a positive ratio, a positive conversion percentage in the red zone. And that's a really hard thing to qualify, because there are good field goals. There are times where it makes sense, and, you know, you never turn down points and things like that. But that is the key to the game, because we know the Cowboys defense can handle and limit the Philadelphia Eagles offense. But we also, unfortunately, know the Cowboys offense isn't going to necessarily throw a huge party against the Eagles defense. That is going to be the key. And we've seen them. We've seen them put together 80 to 85% of a drive. I mean, last week against the Saints, they started off on their own one-yard line. They almost took it all the way to the house. And that's one of those situations where you tell yourself, man, well, they started at the one-yard line. It's really hard to be upset with 3 points, etc. At some point, it is fair to be upset with 3 points. And that's where the difference is going to be, because that game against the Saints should have been a lot more of a convincing win than 13-10. And if the Cowboys flirt with that line, they are flirting with danger. They're flying a little close to the sun. And that's where I think the difference is going to be made on Sunday.
Well, and, you know, one of my keys to the game as I look at this game is that the Cowboys' ability to create opportunities in the passing category. Because you saw the first time these two teams played, I mean, their secondary was decimated by injuries, and got to, I think, two guys, one that left the game because of that, and really impactful players. So this is a game that, again, I'm just kind of like everyone else, are like waiting and waiting. And I think this is that waiting game where there is some yards to be had. There's some big plays to be had. But what with that comes touchdowns, mm-hmm. which comes, it doesn't have to necessarily be the red zone, whether it's what we talked about last point, if we're being critical of Dak Prescott not being able to make that throw, overthrowing him by, you know, a fingertip or something like that, or converting and being able to score in the red zone. There's so many points when you go back and look at this team that have been left on the table, which when you look at that 18 points and change, your points per game could be much higher just if you convert a play here or there. So I really think this is an opportunity for the Cowboys to really, really have an opportunity to score some points, because I think they're against a secondary that's had some injury problems, and they're not that good on the back end. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Jenkins, we mentioned that, is a tremendous player. But on the edges, on the corners, I think when you look at it, when you look at Michael Gallup and, you know, the Cowboys' big playmaker, Amari Cooper, I think there's going to be some yards. We're talking about some big, big chunk yards. So that's definitely going to be a big key in this game.
I think you're right. I think maybe not necessarily like a Dak to Gallup bomb, but I think, for example, we see one of those Zeke screen pass dump offs in this game, you know, and I think Zach Martin gets in space, and Kamu goes and hides in the corner because he's so scared. And, you know, I think that's one of those big, like 60 yard pickups that really just kind of swings a drive and swings the game. You know, we asked, which Eagle are you most afraid of? We both kind of agreed that it was Zach Ertz. Which Cowboy should the Eagles be most afraid of? If you had to invest all your stock in one Cowboy to have the game of his life this Sunday, who would be your choice?
I'm going to go with Zeke. I'm going to stay with number 21, because I think that when you look at the matchups, you look at the Cowboys running the football. And I think for me is whenever the Cowboys are really, really good whenever he's been able to execute. And right. You just mentioned it. Him being able to sneak out of the backfield and catch a pass in the flat or even in a screen. You know, he can go 35 yards at the blink of an eye. So I think from him, and he's always going to be my key every week, because he is a catapult for this team to move the needle. And I think that they have a hard time with that, especially if they can't bring guys down around the line of scrimmage. They got spread out to, you know, compromise for all the other playmakers like Amari Cooper. And I think that's what we'll really see We'll see the second time around what he can do. But I think Zeke, and I think Amari Cooper will continue this trend of just really balling because he's so good in space. And I think I don't think there's anybody on their secondary that can play man-to-man. And they're going to take a chance. They're going to throw some blitzes. We know Jim Schwartz likes to dial up the blitz. Mm-hmm. That's their you know, go-to defensive play call. And that's when these man up matchups, you know, one-on-one matchups on when they're blitzing, whenever the receivers get in space, those are the matchups they got to win.
I agree with you, and not to piggyback, but I do think that Zeke, if I had to bet everything I own on one guy having the game of his life, I would lean Zeke more than anybody. You mentioned obviously what the Eagles do, you know, in terms of how often they blitz, et cetera. Zeke is valuable there. There was a moment in Philadelphia where he took out two Eagles coming
at that. Absolutely.
And
so, that's another huge key in this game.
And that's just the way Zeke rolls. And I'm so, I love to kind of look at players' history and you look at a game like this and a rivalry like this, Zeke kind of shows up against the Eagles. You know, his rookie year, their first game against the Eagles, that was the one that went to overtime. The Cowboys won. That was great. The season finale didn't mean anything. Last season, that horrible loss at AT&T Stadium, Zeke didn't play in that game because of the suspension. And then the game at Philly in Week 17 didn't matter. And then obviously a month ago, Zeke went up there and ate everything. Zeke is just one of those guys. I mean, and I think it's partly because, you know, he went to the Ohio State and he was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, his name is Zeke, for crying out loud. The guy rises, you know, to the occasion, to the stage. He just, when the moment is brightest, he's at his best. And so this is one of those moments. And so I do think that Zeke is going to come out and flex some muscle. So I think that he is certainly the guy. He's the Zach Ertz to be afraid of. But I think fortunately for the Cowboys, they have a few of those nominees because the Zeke of the defense is Leighton Vander Esch right now. And I really think that we're going to see some wolf howling going on. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think Vander Esch gets another interception in this game. He had the one on Carson Wentz back in Philly. I think he gets another one on Sunday.
And wasn't this the coming out, the last matchup in this game is a coming out party for Leighton Vander Esch? Wasn't that the game where Sean Lee got injured?
Well, he got injured the game before on Monday Night Football.
Okay,
So this, it was his first start for Sean Lee.
Yeah, so that's what I meant. Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to continue to play well at a high level because I think the guy has confidence. I think the one thing that you can really notice, it really shows up, is how educated he is on the field.
Sure.
He knows a lot about the game, and I think that's as a rookie, especially a play caller or a linebacker that's, you know, fills that role of knowing all the offenses, mm-hmm. and calling the plays on defense. I think he's absorbed the playbook really well because I think it's hard for a younger player, especially the linebacker, to kind of decipher everything and you're having to think more than you're to react. And I think right now this guy's reacting, he's reacting downfield. But I think both these linebackers will continue to ball because, again, as we said yesterday on our podcast, they run downhill so fast, mm-hmm. in space. And, you know, I think when you see, in space, these guys being able to make plays against these really fast guys in space is very impressive. If I had one defensive player, I think I like Byron Jones in this game. I think, you know, for me, you talked about Leighton Vander Esch having an interception. I mean, Byron Jones to me has had arguably one of the best years as a defensive back in the National Football League.
Absolutely.
But you got to stay with the Marcus Lawrence. I mean, the guy's is a playmaker, and I like how you mentioned Tyrone Crawford. I think he is collectively having a tremendous quiet year this year. I mean, the guy has played very consistent. Had a big sack in the last game. Great plays, you know, tackles for loss. Him and the guys inside, when you watch it really closely, you really see how much disruption they're getting, and I think that's what's leading to. We don't give those guys enough credit because they're blocker eaters. I mean, they eat up blocks and they give the linebackers opportunity to run freely, sideline to sideline.
I agree so much with that, especially with the Tyrone Crawford love. He's also a really great leader for the team.
He's a good dude.
He's fantastic. You know, when I was driving back from Dallas last week after the Saints game, I was listening to the break from DallasCowboys.com, and I think it was Dave Hellman that said, It was really unfortunate what happened with Randy Gregory being offsides, because that was the fumble recovery by Tyrone Crawford. And you look at it, and Tyrone, who's had a great year, he had what Dave said, he hasn't really had the moment. You know, he hasn't had that moment where it was his, you know, and he deserves that because he's had such a good season. You know, Leighton's had a lot of moments. Jalen's kind of gotten overshadowed by other people's play. And that would have been it if not for the offsides penalty. I'm going to double down, and I'm going to say I think that this is the game where – not only Leighton Vander Esch gets another interception, but I think because collectively, I know this sounds ridiculous after they just did what they did to the Saints, but the defense hasn't had a moment. I mean, like a highlight reel moment. Yeah, they've had sacks and interceptions and big hits and whatever.
I don't know, brother, man. Last week was a highlight.
Well, you get my point. Where I get you. What I'm saying is I think that they house one. They take one back to the house. And that is the, you know, the real, like, culmination sort of moment. That's what I really mean. So I think they house one on the Eagles, and I think that it is a party. I think they all run over there, and they take the picture and everything, and that's a whole lot of fun. I'll ask you this before we do our predictions. It goes without saying that the signature win of the season, whether they lose every game from here on out for the Cowboys, is that Saints game. What's the signature win for the Eagles so far? I mean, what win can they, like, hang their hat on? I mean, they beat the Falcons early on in the season opener with Nick Foles. They beat the Colts, and that was kind of a cute win, and Frank Reich and all that nonsense, who you guys know well. Shout out to y'all. They beat the Giants on Thursday Night Football. That was whatever. They beat the Jaguars in London, and then they beat the Giants and the Redskins recently. But those are all, like tepid. You know, those are all, like, pff, you know, whatever. Like, those are all, like, McDonald's chicken nuggets. The Cowboys' win over the Saints was, like, filet mignon.
Yeah, I understand the point, and maybe this game when they beat the Cowboys is going to be a signature win for them if they were able to pull that off because of the direction they want to go. You know, they'll be tied if they beat the Cowboys Sunday, they'll be tied with the Cowboys for the division lead. So for them, they're looking at this game. You know, the fact that they collectively really have not really been that good. Offensively, they struggled. You know, maybe the point of reference for them is the Washington game. They finally got on track and were able to run the football and just kind of be more of a balanced offense. And so maybe that's what they're looking for, is kind of the confidence coming off a win like that and then setting up a game like the Cowboys. Because now these games, as we move forward, are all huge. Mm-hmm. You know, they're more – there's more of a desperate team. It's got to be – the Eagles, because they're clawing and scratching to just go ahead and stay even with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the fact that it is at home for the Cowboys, and it's such a – there's a lot of things at stake. You know, I think it creates that focus where it's a huge game. And I think the Cowboys, if they look back, and hypothetically, another – you know, if they win, they look back and they beat the Cowboys and they move on and run the table or do what they need to do and stay ahead of the Cowboys – they'll look back and say, the Cowboys game was our signature win. So, hypothetically, this could be their game as they move forward, because winning in the National Football League, it's very difficult, you know, and to get on a run. And look at the Cowboys. I mean, who would ever thought that they'd be on this run? No one. Right. So, I think that's what they're looking at this game. It's a huge game for them, and they're desperate.
Well, What's the best side dish for filet mignon, by the way? If you could have one side.
Mashed potatoes.
I'm going baked potato, dude.
Man. Garlic mashed potatoes are the best. A lot of garlic.
I'm not saying I don't like them. I'm just saying I like a baked potato more. So, I mean, yeah.
And make sure you have some mints after you have your filet mignon and your garlic mashed potatoes.
That's a good point. let's pick this game, Tony. I will go first, and I'll leave you the stage.
Okay.
We have said for over a month that this five-game stretch, this is the fifth game of it, this was the gauntlet for the Cowboys. We thought they were going to get destroyed in it. We thought there was no way on earth we were going to be talking about new head coaching candidates and, you know, quarterback options and all this, you know, garbage. And somehow, some way, we have found ourselves here. They've grinded out each one of these four wins, although they did kind of win the game on Thanksgiving a little bit convincingly. I think that this is the exclamation point on their run. I think they win this game, and I think the final score is 26-12. And I think, you know, it's only a 14-point win, but I think just like the Saints game, it's a more dominating feeling. I think maybe that last touchdown for the Eagles comes late. Maybe they go for two to, you know, analytics, whatever, try to bring it close, and they miss something like that. I think this is a just announcement. I mean, they already made their announcement with the Saints win, but I think this is just a culmination of this month and a half's hard work.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with you on that. That's when you look at their whole body of work. But I'm kind of staying in the same category. I'm not trying to get too high and not trying to get too low on what the Cowboys have done. I think they will continue to have a play great defense because I love the matchup between the Eagles' offense versus the Cowboys' defense. But I think, again, I'm kind of reluctant to be bullish on their offense because I just haven't seen enough opportunities that have presented themselves to Dak and he hasn't been able to execute. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going with that same score that I've been, you know, I mentioned earlier. I think the Cowboys can hold this offense to 10 points.
Okay.
And I think the Cowboys, so I'm looking the Cowboys to win 24-10 with another dominating, maybe not as dominating as the performance against the Saints, considering, you know, their offense had this big reputation. But I think. On offense, I think there'll be some big plays, and I look for Amari Cooper and Zeke to have tremendous days. But again, I don't think I'm not going to go and say they're going to score 28 points or something like that. I'm looking 34-17. The Cowboys win.
No, I agree with you. So we both have 14-point margins of victory, and I said 26 points. And for what it's worth, I think 7 of those are thanks to the defense. So that would mean only 19 total points. And I think that of those 19 points, that's one touchdown and 4 field goals. I think they still struggle to cash in when they get in the end zone. I think they just pile up field goals and they get touchdowns at the right time. And, you know, that's enough, you know, hopefully for them. This is going to be epic, Tony. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. And last week we did a great video shoot, you with your Super Bowl teammates, and you're going to do some video work again for us this week. So people need to make sure to subscribe to the official Blog on the Boys YouTube channel. And Tony, you need to make sure to get some garlic mashed potatoes between now and kickoff. That seems like a good luck charm.
Well, usually it's macaroni and cheese if you're in that building.
That's a good point. The truffle they have.
Oh my,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you get spoiled. You cannot go anywhere else and eat macaroni and cheese because – they serve up the best macaroni and cheese. So I probably will have garlic on my macaroni and cheese.
See, I agree with you because they put the like the crust on top and it's like a casserole.
Yeah, here I am trying to lose weight and all we do is talk about food.
That's how we roll, Tony. Let's hope for a Cowboys win. Next time you and I talk, this game will have happened. Let's hope we have another one to celebrate, another victory polo Monday in store. Tony, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy being in the playoff. Go Sooners, just go Tony. Just all things Tony. Go Tony Casillas.
You too, brother. Travel safe, and hopefully I look forward to talking on Monday or Tuesday about a Cowboy win.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure to check out blogontheboys.com. This was the 750.
Hello, you're listening to Simone de Rochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, Or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.